today I've been considering on the imagination, and it's good for us to realize that the imagination is considered real. It is not like what we use in our English expression that it's just a figment of our imagination. But as far as the Bible is concerned, what happens in our imagination is going to happen physically. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your word. We pray, Father God, that your word will cause us to rise up in all that you have commanded us to. We pray, Father God, that your word would cause us to move into new realms of your spirit. Teach us your word. Let your people be a people of vision. So Father, we will give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you do in our midst. We know, Father, that your Holy Spirit is here. And we proclaim that Jesus is Lord. We proclaim him as Lord here. And we allow his Lordship to reign in this place. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We will consider that Hebrew word yetzer, which means the imagination. Let's look at the Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now the world was already corrupted, and it has reached a place of corruption in Noah's time where the judgment must come down. God being a righteous God, there is a certain limit before he personally would step in. Otherwise, if he doesn't step in, the world will self-destruct. It would just destroy itself utterly, completely. So God has to step in to make sure that the world could continue to be preserved. And the Bible makes a statement here that God saw that the world was wicked. But he not only saw the world as it is. He did not only go by what he saw, what was physical. He saw in the spirit realm. He saw that in the intent, the imagination, which is the Hebrew word yetzer, Y-E-T-Z-E-R, the word yetzer, which means he saw in the yetzer of man, the imagination of the man, that it was continually wicked, that there was more to come. God saw that there was more to come. And if he doesn't stop it now, it's going to get worse. He knew that what man imagined, man will perform. He knew that what is inside will come forth naturally. So our imagination is considered by God to be more real, to be a substance, and not just something that is non-permanent, temporal, or something that is just a wish. The imagination is not just a wish. I wish it may, I wish it may not. I wish it may happen. It is not just wishing. The imagination is a production center for all your life. The imagination is a part of you that will produce what is to come. And so if the devil gets hold of your imagination, you are doomed. But if God gets hold of your imagination by his word, then great things are in store for you. There are only a few times that the word yetze is specially used. I believe we just lay a foundation and just read all those passages where the word yetze comes forth in the Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 21. And remember, it's the same Hebrew word yetzer that we are considering. God says, "Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten. It will not be forgotten in the mouths of the descendants." And this, God says, "For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land which I swore to give them." Now here the Israelites have not even entered the land of Canaan. The book of Deuteronomy, from Deutero and Nomo, which means law, that means the second law. In other words, it was a repetition of the book of Exodus. And Moses recounted all that God has done. Remember, Moses was going to go to die. And Moses was giving his last few words to the Israelite nation, preparing them before they enter the promised land. So they were just at the shores of the promised land. Just beyond was the promised land. Joshua was going to lead them through. They could see across to the promised land, but they have not entered. They have not even lived there yet. They just came from Egypt. For some of the young ones, 40 years ago, the old generation has passed. This is a new generation. All they have seen is a wilderness. All they have seen is all these desert and mountains. But they have not tasted the land of milk and honey. They could see across there and say, "Hey, that's a land of milk and honey." They have not even lived there. They have not been there. But God says, right now, I could see in their imagination. I could see in their yetzer that there is evil. God says, I see evil inside their yetzer. And God says, I know that they're going to do evil there. Now just think about that. God considers your imagination, your blueprint, the floppy disk that you put into your computer, the information that you put into your computer. God considers that as guiding the whole course of the nation's life. And God says, Moses, write this song, because I know that they are going to be what they saw. They are going to become what they see. They are going to get what they see, and inside their yetzer, inside their imagination, I see evil. So Moses, write this song, so that when the yetzer comes to pass out there, when the imagination becomes worked out, when what is in the blueprint becomes builded up, they will know that I have seen that it was going to take place. How did God know? God looks at the imagination, the yetzer. The word inclination in that verse is the word yetzer. Yetzer. Say yetzer. Turn to the one next to you and say yetzer. turn to the one on the other side and say, Yetze. I'll never forget Yetze. There are only a few times that special word is used. And that same word is used again. And this time we will just look at the book of 1 Chronicles. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 9. 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 9. It says in verse 9, As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts, and understands all the yetzer, the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Says the Lord understands the imagination. The Lord understands the yetzer. Isn't it interesting that the Bible translates imagination, yetzer, as intent? See, your intent becomes your actions. It's the inclination of the heart. It is the blueprint. It's the direction. It's the program that has been implanted that God sees. So David warned Solomon, because David knew how important the imagination was. He himself had fallen when his imagination fell. And he knew the importance of the imagination of the Yetzer. And it's the same book of Chronicles, just in a chapter before. Let's look at this chapter and 29, the chapter after 29, verse 18. Just the next chapter says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever. In other words, keep this covenant, keep this that we are doing, this obedience, in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people. Now, isn't that a long phrase? In the intent of the thoughts of the hearts. Actually, what it says is in the yetzer of the thoughts of the heart. In the imagination of the thoughts of their heart. David says, O Lord, keep this obedience, this willingness to do your commandments, to build your house, in the imagination of your people. David knew that if he could get the people of God to have the same imagination, it will produce. Yetzer is something solid in the spirit realm. It is not liquid. It is not something that is wishy-washy thinking. It's not just something like a dream that passed away. But it is constructive, it's built. Now there are sometimes translated in the Bible the word Yetzer as a solid object. Turn to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And this time we'll focus on 29 verse 16. Isaiah 29 verse 16. I've read this, but I'll continue refreshing your memories on all this teaching until you grasp a whole of this teaching. Chapter 29, verse 16. Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? Shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? The word called the thing formed, the thing made, is that word yetzer. Let me read it, putting the word yetzer there. Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the yetzer say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the yetzer say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? See, the yetzer is treated as something real, something solid, something that's already been formed, except that it was in seed form. As I illustrated when we first started, that a seed, in a seed, everything that is to come is placed there. The seed is important to what is to come. All the programming, all the genes are in the seed. What kind of leaf will be in that seed? What kind of fruit it will bear? It's already in that seed. Now a seed is so small you could hold it in your hands. But when it is grown, you cannot hold a huge tree in one hand. But yet, that tree and that seed are equal. That tree came from that seed. And the yetzer is the seed of the things to come. To say that it is something that is not permanent is to say that the seed is not the plant, which is absurd. We know that the seed produces the plant. The yetzer is the seed that produces your future life. The yetzer is the seed of your future. The wonderful thing is that your yetzer can be changed. Your yetzer can be formed. Your yetzer can be trained. Whereas the seed remains there. The genes remain as they are. But even though the yetzer can be formed and can be changed, it can only be formed and changed in line with what God's will for you is. What God's will in your life is. You cannot go beyond the will of God. God's will that is written for you is inside your yetzer. It's inside your spirit. And it needs to be written out clearly with the help of the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 26 verse 3, I believe, it says that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The word mind is the word yetzer. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose yetzer is stayed on you. Notice, the yetzer will fix you. You will not turn to the left or to the right. If you have your imagination set right, you will not fall. If you have your imagination set right and programmed right with the Word of God, you will only be able to taste success and not failure. See, the imagination is vitally important unto us. There are only these few times that the Hebrew word yetzer comes out. In fact, all these verses are there. We have not turned to all of them. I just give you generally for you to take notes. Genesis 6 verse 5 we have given to you. Genesis 8 verse 21. Deuteronomy 31 verse 21. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 18. Psalms 103 verse 14. It is translated as frame. It is translated as imagination or intent in Genesis 6, Genesis 8, Deuteronomy 31, and 1 Chronicles 28, 1 Chronicles 29. I've given that to you. It's translated as frame in Psalms 103 verse 14, translated as mine in Isaiah 26 verse 3, and translated as the thing frame in Isaiah 29 verse 16. These are the only times that the word Yetzer is used in the Old Testament. You could literally count that less than 10 times. But yet that word speaks about the intents, the inclinations, and it's actually translated as imagination. Our imagination. Let me show for this. Could I have that regular cup of water? This is not for me to drink. Thank you. And could I have that? Yes, thank you. Is that coming up? See, water, in this cup is water. And you know that water in our normal temperature functions as a liquid. None of you can hold water without something solid. You try to catch water, you cannot hold it. Your hands will only get wet. If I say, please pick up that pound of water, it would be absurd. So, Brother James, could you catch some water here? Dip your hand. Anybody want to try to catch water? You want, I'll throw it from my cup to you. Anybody? You want to catch this water? I'll throw it to you without the cup. You cannot grasp water. You cannot hold it. It takes the shape of anything. Thank you. It takes the shape of anything that it comes. Thank you. Wow. Now this is also H2O. But I'm holding H2O. Isn't that a miracle? Now, we see so often that we don't consider it a miracle. But I'm holding water, I'm holding H2O in my hands without a cup. I could even throw it up and catch it up again. Isn't it lovely? It's the same H2O, it's the same water. Chemically and physically, this H2O is the same as this H2O inside this cup. But I won't dare to just pour it down. Let me see. It won't stay. It won't stay in my hands. It will just slip off my hands and go to the carpet. What is the difference between these two? James, can you hold water? Nice, isn't it? I'm going to keep it there for the whole service. Right. It's nice. You can hold it. It's the same. It's H2O. It's water. Now, the difference between these two is they have been in different environment. If I take this cup of water and put it in a different environment, in a cold environment, then what will happen is that that cup of water would become this piece of ice. It was just the environment. Just the environment. And in fact, if I bring this water near somewhere where it's very hot, put it near the fire, or just put it in the sun. If I just leave this water in the sun, the water will become another medium called water vapor. And it will just disappear off. And I look at it after a couple of days, provided it doesn't rain and fill it up, I look at it, and the sun has evaporated the water. See, you can't catch this water in this cup, but I can guarantee you, you can catch this. Anybody want to try? Where's the Goliath? You could definitely catch this, what, this lump of ice, which is actually water. It's still the same. It's water. What is the difference? It's the environment. It's the environment that makes it different. the same substance, H2O. In the same way, because we live in a physical world, the imagination we consider to be something as a dream, or something as a shadow, not as something real. Just because it is like water to us, we feel that it is something that we cannot hold, we cannot touch with our five senses. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Now I want you to see with your imagination, to see this whole place packed. I'll describe it and you just see in your imagination. The whole place is so filled that there are people standing outside, there are people standing on around, there are about two rows squatting on the floor in the front here. There's not enough seat, and you could not put your Bible to sit next to you because it will be on the lap on the other guy. Could you see that in the imagination? Could you see that? Alright, you can open your eyes now. Now what you saw just now was to God like this. It is solid. But when we close our eyes and we see with the imagination and we open our eyes again, we say, oh, that was only a wishful thinking. Oh, that was only a passing thought. We never conceive of it that what we see inside is as real and as solid as the physical world. But to God, what is in the yetzer or imagination is as solid as water is to you. The difference is that it is in a different realm. It is in the spirit realm. While your eyes are in the physical realm. Your eyes function on the physical realm, while your imagination functions in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm. It's interesting to note that the Hebrew word for dream and window is quite close. Quite close. And so the dream is almost like a window that you see into another realm. Just like there are many windows here. If I want to look over on the riverside, I look at the window on this side. If I want to see just roads, I look at the window on this side. See, it depends on which window you're looking through. But your imagination is like a window in the spirit realm. It sees a thing in the spirit realm. And just because the spirit realm is not touchable or tangible to your five senses, we sometimes despise it. We sometimes neglect its importance to our life. But right now, all of you have an imagination functioning. Whether you're taught these truths or visualizing or not, you have an imagination functioning. You may not realize it, but you are all the time visualizing. We human beings are creatures that visualize. The difference in this teaching that we do is not that we just start you off on visualizing, but we are teaching you to apply what you have that God has equipped you with to the Word of God. Take note of that. Example, whether you're born again and you're not born again, if you're a normal, healthy, functioning adult, you would be using your lips and talking. You probably talk a lot of words. So when we begin to teach on confession, we are not just teaching you to talk. We are not saying, say A, you say A, B, B, C, E, wrong, C. We are not just teaching you to talk. You have already learned to master the language and you have been talking. But when we teach confession of God's word, we are teaching you that your lips are important. The words you speak are important. Instead of speaking all those things like the world does, you speak God's word. See, what we have done is not that we have invented something new. It is there all the time. Conversation or words are something that is as old as civilization. But we are teaching that words are vital and important, and so be more careful of them and speak only that which is in line with the word of God, so that you could use what God has placed in your whole being as a soul to His glory. And the same way, when we teach on the visualizing in the spirit and the imagination, it is not invented right here. It is something that you see all the time you're using. You may not even be aware that you're using those areas in your life. But we are just making you aware that it is functioning in your life. Before you get a job, you visualize it. Before you go into a work, you are already visualizing what you want to be in different degrees. But what we are doing is that we are teaching the importance of that part of your life. That we have taken it for granted. That we have taken it, no, well, let it come as it will. Let it come as it will. If you leave a small child to grow up by itself and say, let the child educate itself, lah. The child can even grow up without learning how to read and write. We all know that, so all of us teach our children and educate our children. We teach them. We don't just leave them alone. In the same way, our imagination has been so much a part of us that we take it for granted. We take it for granted. And we don't realize the importance of the imagination in relation to the spirit realm. So when we teach these things, it is not that we just invented it. It is there all the time, but what we have done is to make you aware of it, and then for making you aware, bring it into practical application to take the word of God and begin to form in your imagination the solidness of a vision that is in line with the word of God, and from that imagination, it will produce your future life. So your imagination still has to work along with the will of God and the word of God. To keep your mind in perfect peace, you have to flow, your yetzer to flow in God, not of yourself. In the world, they are discovering these truths, but they are misapplying it. They are misapplying all these truths. In the world, they teach about visualizing also. Do you realize that? They teach about visualizing. There is a Malaysian book that I just glanced through. And I just want to check the level that the world is copying the things of God. Just as in God, Jesus said in Mark 11:23-24, that if you believe what you say it shall come to pass, you shall have it. So Jesus is teaching the power of the spoken words. Proverbs 18:21 said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now in the world they have an imitation and a form, and they call it positive confession. And so they tell themselves, they look in the mirror and they say, you are successful, you are okay, you are this. And in the world, they don't teach morality. They don't teach the Ten Commandments. So sometimes a greedy guy will look there and say, hey, old chap, you are rich. And it makes them covetous. Because they are not guided by morality. Or sometimes an evil guy may go there and they covered another woman or they covered another person. And so they began to visualize the wrong thing. They began to visualize adultery or fornication. So the world has stumbled on the principle, but they have misapplied it. And to some extent, they have succeeded a little bit because the truths were truths in the Word. But it can only go so far and no more. But what Christians are doing is that they react to it. They say, they hear teaching on confession on God's Word. They say, hey, there is Norman Vincent Peale, or Dale Carnegie, or some of these. They begin to associate with the Word, and so end up they reject the whole thing totally, without realizing that in Christianity and in the charismatic movement, God is reviving all these truths. So that every truth that is in the Word will be manifest in these days before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as a result, some react and turn it off. Just like long ago, about 6 years back, there was a teaching on prosperity. So we found it in the Word and we got into the Word. But sometimes other groups say, hey, that is from the devil. 5 years later, with their pockets full of holes, their wallets empty, and their pants full of holes, they are very holy, holy. They come back and said, could you teach me some of that prosperity stuff? See, what happened is that they reject the thing completely without realizing that that was an imitation. Remember, if there's an imitation, there's a real. The imitation comes because there's a real. Now, if a person were to counterfeit money, they're not going to counterfeit money that looks like Monopoly money. And then take that Monopoly money, you know, counterfeit just exactly Monopoly money and try to go out and buy something. They will straight away be jailed. What do they do when they counterfeit? They try to make it exactly like the original as much as possible. It's an imitation, but it's not real. It's not like the genuine. So, they try to pass it on as a genuine. And that's what the devil does. He counterfeits all these things. If there is a counterfeit, there is a real. There is a real. Which is true. The Bible has a solid teaching on the tongue. We've gone through that on the tongue. Importance of the confession. And I sat down many times and confessed God's Word through about 8, 9, 10 hours. It does something to me. I could tangibly feel a change come on my whole being when I confess God's Word. You do it and see. You sit down and do meditation 3, 4, 5 hours, confession of God's Word. You see the physical change is tremendous. So there is a real. So there is a counterfeit of visualizing without the commandments of God, without a moral base. But there is a real. There is a real art of visualizing and imagination. Like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we look to those things which are invisible. We look to the invisible to manifest it in the physical. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And thank you. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the, what is that called? Substance. Faith is the substance But it's not a physical substance. It's not a substance that we could touch with our hands, smell with our nose, see with our eyes, taste with our taste buds. It's not a physical substance. It is a spiritual substance. And the word substance in the Greek is the word hypostasis. It's something solid. It is only used a few times in the New Testament. But we only look at the book of Hebrews, three times the word hypostasis is used. Here in Hebrews 11 verse 1 it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And faith is the substance of things not seen. Isn't it marvelous? The things that are not seen, I can receive a substance through faith. Through faith, I can receive that substance in my imagination. For the spirit of faith, believe that we receive it. Receive it in the spirit realm. Hold fast to it. What the word says. For your interest, the word hypostasis occurs in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now verse 3 refers to Jesus. It says that Jesus is the express image of the Father, of his person, referring to the person of the Father. Jesus is the express image of his person, that is the person of the Father. Now the word person in verse 3 is the word hypostasis. So it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his hypostasis. That means his spiritual substance, his reality. One day when this whole world is redeemed, when we all are in the glory of God, you could literally touch God. See, he is a spiritual being, touchable and knowable. But this fallen world has fallen to the realm where the spirit realm is like something that is non-existent. Man has fallen to the state where sometimes you can walk on the street and you can ask a man, do they believe in a spirit world? Do they believe in heaven and hell? They say, no, we only believe in this life. See, the world has fallen to that extent where some of them and some ministers don't even believe in today. There are liberal ministers that don't even believe in an angel, don't even believe in a demon. Now, the spirit world is no more. Non-existence as far as their experience is concerned. If only they knew that the spirit world controls the physical world. And there is a substance of the spirit world. It's the substance of God's being. Hebrews chapter 3, the second time when it was used, in this passage here, verse chapter 3 verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ. Now notice he's saying we have become a part of Christ. We have become partakers of Christ. How? If we hold the beginning of our hypostasis steadfast to the end. Here is translated confidence. The same Greek word, hypostasis, translated confidence. So you see, the same Greek word, hypostasis, is translated in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 as person, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14 as confidence, and Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 as substance. Same Greek word. Don't know why they go and translate it all different. The reason being because they could not comprehend what this substance is. Some say it's a confidence that comes in, but it's more than a confidence. So Hebrews 11 1 put it's a substance. But then it's more than a substance. It's so real that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 translates it as a person, which we have said the yetzer is something that is real, something that is solid, something that can be grasped, that can be felt, that can be molded by the word of God. And right now you have in your imagination the ability to change your future. I don't believe in fatalism. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in unfortunately or fortunately or lucky. Hey brother, you are just lucky. No! All these words talk about fatalism. That means you are not in control of your destiny. But God tells us in His Word, we are in control of our destiny. We are responsible for our destiny. That is why there's a judgment. If everything came because of the will of God, why then does He judge us for what is His will? No, we are responsible for our lives. We are responsible for what we do in this life. We have our destiny in our hands. Literally in our imagination. Therefore, God says there's a judgment coming where every man has to answer for what he does with his life. You have your future in your hands. More accurately, you have your future in your imagination. What is stored inside. Now, the most wonderful thing here in Hebrews 11 verse 1, you know this carefully. Faith. Now we have mentioned that the imagination is where the faith comes in. In last week, we relate to the heart and faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Isn't that right? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Let me read it so you know that we are being scriptural. 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Is that future tense, past tense, or present tense? The word hoped for. It's kind of confusing, isn't it? Now isn't that a contradiction of terms? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Think about that. That is a complete contradiction of all grammatical knowledge in the English. Hope is in the future. Hope is always in the future. I hope, you hope, we hope, she hopes, we hoped. We have said that about the Hebrew vocabulary. God has a habit of calling things which be not as though they were. Not even as they are, but as they were. That is done. He told Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. It is future. Yet it is past, but it is now. What a complete contradiction. No wonder people just stumble when it comes to all these things. Future, past, then he said present. Their minds blow. Couldn't find their minds anymore. Now the imagination is not bound by physical time. That is what the truth is coming for. Your imagination can scan the past. We all know that. Let me illustrate with something that may not be pleasant, but you could identify with it. If somebody hurt you, see something wrong about you, or something that has happened to you that you could not forget, that was unpleasant, and that somebody who hurt you about 10 years ago suddenly appear, and of all things, they also attend TOG. And you were hoping that it is some other TOG. But you found out that the last word also means glory. So you say, oh dear, when the person comes, I better see on the opposite side. Then when the person comes, and then here we go. The preacher there was singing, I love you with the love of the Lord. Here comes that person charging down the hallway. I love you with the love of the Lord. And say, oh dear, here comes disaster. And inside you, all your feelings come. Your minds, your memory. What is happening? Your imagination and your memory has gone to the past. So you bring the past and you relate to the person as in the past. So while that could have happened when you were 10 years old, now you're 20 years old. So every time you see the person, you become 10 years old again. You grew younger. And so the person hurt you 10 years ago when you're 10 years old, now you're 20 years old. When you see the person, you become 10 years old and say, you hurt me. You hurt me, so I hate you. So you become 10 years old. Younger again, to that same spot. What happened? Your imagination has automatically switched back to the past and make the past a living reality. It happens all the time. Praise God, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all your sins, cleanse you from all unforgiveness, so that you could relate differently. And that's what happens sometimes when we relate to each other. Some of you may remind me of my strict Chinese teacher. You know one reason I could never be good in Chinese? They put a wrong teacher when I was in primary school. That teacher will whack me for every mispronunciation. Run! I say, on! Run! And I had no inspiration to learn. I gave up. Praise God, now I marry a wife who knows Chinese, so she do all the Chinese reading for me. But sometimes when I look at people, it reminds me, oh, looks like that old guy. But it's a different person actually, different actor. Now, some of you remind me of my father. That's nice. Except when he gets angry. He has very dark red skin. Looks more like red Indian than Chinese. And don't ask me why he was red. I don't know myself. And so when he gets angry, he not only becomes red, he turns purple. And so, some people remind me of that. But when I relate to them, I have to get the blood of Jesus to cancel all these things and relate to them as they are. Relate to them as they are. Most of you probably have come to know Indrasha. You came to know her either by word or knowledge, or by watching her. So, when you come across another person and they are as zealous, you say, ah, Indrasha. Now, if Indrasha has sort of accidentally hurt you, then the next time a person comes, you say, okay, I'm going to avoid this guy. And what happened? We have brought our past into our present. And most of the time, that prevents people from loving each other and flowing together in the body of Christ. Because we are either reminded too much of each other's past, but agape love looks at your future. Romans 5 says,
in verse 8, while we were yet sinners, He loved us. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but Christ died for sinners. That's marvelous. Christ didn't love us because of our past. We had a bad past. Christ didn't love us because of our present. We had a terrible present. But Christ loved us because He saw our future. And as long as you look at each other and remember the past or even the present, it is quite difficult. Honestly speaking, it would be difficult. Some people are lovable, some not quite so lovable because they just got extra shoulder blades. It sticks at you. So it's difficult in the natural, but when you look at each other in the future and you see the value God has placed on a person's life, God doesn't see what you were or who you are, but He sees what you can be. And He loves you into what you can be. So the wonderful thing about the imagination is it's not bound by time. We could go into our past or into your present. Anyway, it's past for you if you are here. It could be an hour ago. Like, close your eyes right now and see the room or the house you stay in. Could you see that? Very easily. Now, that was in your past about 1 hour or a few hours ago when you left your house. You are no more there, otherwise you won't be here. It was in your past, couple of hours back. What happened? Your imagination is not bound by time. Your body is bound by time. Here is where we want to say this word. If your imagination was not bound by the past, if it was not bound by the present, why is it that people make it bound when it comes to the future? See the point? Your yetzer and imagination is not bound by time like your physical body is. It could go to your childhood. Not only your unpleasant, but it could go to your pleasant incidences of your life. You could remember the things that are pleasant to you. You could, I'm sure. You could go into your past and relive the whole experience. You could go into your past a few hours back. Or right now, if I ask you to visualize this place as it is, you could just close your eyes and see it as it is. No problem. We have no problem for the imagination dealing with the past and the present. The question is, why do people struggle when it comes to their future? Why is it that their imagination cannot seem to move into the future? And yet that's the most important, because it's where the imagination is that is forming the future. If they see the past, they will keep producing the past in their present life and in their future life. They will keep repeating the same mistakes. If all you can see after you fail many times is failure, you're going to harvest failure. Because you have allowed the past to have a hold on you, so that you keep producing the same patterns in the future as in the past. It has been locked up in your imagination. See, here's where people struggle, because they cannot see the future. They cannot see what is their future. They could see their past because they experience it. They could see their present because they experience it. What is the key? Experience. How is it that we can see the past and the future and the present because we experience it? And here is where we need someone who has already known our future, who can see our future as past, to give us a conducted tour into that realm. So turn with me in your Bible in John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He rules the past. Chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Now, what is truth? You all have it defined. Truth is the real state of being. A fact is a piece of information. It may reveal the truth or it may not. It depends on to what extent they have the whole picture of the fact. But here, the Spirit of truth, in the Amplified Version, it says reality. The real, the Spirit who knows the real substance. Do you know this whole world, everything that you see is temporal. The real is the spiritual and eternal, and that's the truth. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit who brings the truth to blow apart the facts. That same Holy Spirit works now in your imagination. Truth is a spirit. The Spirit of truth will guide you into what? Say it out. All truth. Say all truth. Say all truth again. Now, we have seen last week that you need to hold on to the truth before you can blow apart the temporal facts. They are contrary to the truth. And you have a spirit being, the third person of the Godhead, who is called the Spirit of truth, who will guide you, who will bring you, who will make you experience the truth. This is what happens. You go around confessing, by His stripes I was healed. By His stripes I was healed. By His stripes I was healed. Thank you, Jesus. I've been healed by Your stripes. I've been healed by Your stripes. And one day the healing takes place. Bang! You are healed. Who did that? Jesus, yes, through who? Holy Spirit. Who brought the healing? Shout it out if you know. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. The Holy Spirit guides you to experience the real. He changes and blows apart what is not real. He guides you into the experience of the truth. Nobody can claim healing. Nobody can claim their ability to heal it rests on the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one person on the planet Earth today who is sent by Jesus to do the works of Jesus and greater works. But if you and I yield to the same Spirit, the greater works will flow through your life. You will experience it. See, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Then we have Jesus saying here, He will not speak on His own authority. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit's purpose for coming is to help us to experience in reality all that Jesus promised and said. All the works of Jesus, all the promises of Jesus, all that is entrusted, invested in Jesus is going to help us to experience Jesus in person. That's His purpose for coming. That is why Jesus called Him the Spirit of Truth. Now here's the next part. It's not finished yet. It's full of meat, these small little words. Whatever He hears, He will speak. Now God is a God who calls things which be not as though they were. And God sees something completed before it's completed, and He calls it as such. The Holy Spirit hears and He transmits that to you and I. And He says He will show you. He will show you. The word manifest. He will manifest to you the things to come. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Without Him, we can do nothing. Thank God we have an advocate. You know what is an advocate? It's someone who stands there and says, that is a legal right of this child of God to experience this inheritance. See, when you are wrong and you're having injustice done to you, somebody comes and steals your house, steals your car, steals your health, steals your property, steals all that you have. And you said, I'm a child of the living God. All this destruction don't belong to me. The blessings of God belong to me. The devil will say, no, 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 no. You got no power against him. The Holy Spirit comes along and says, he's right. Devil, you're judge. Surrender. And the Holy Spirit comes, takes the devil by his tail, and gives the devil the left foot of fellowship. And the devil goes off, and then you experience all that God intends you to experience. The most wonderful thing is that the Spirit of Truth right now is working in your imagination. He's right now forming. The language of the Holy Spirit is a language of visions and dreams. One of the first things that happened when the Spirit came down was visions and dreams. And the Holy Spirit right now can show you things to come. See, we have said, why is it that people cannot see their future as easily as they see the past or their present? Because they have not experienced it. But here comes the Holy Spirit who came to give you the experience. The experience of what is to come. He will manifest to you. He will show you things to come. All you have to do is get into the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And all you have to do is be like a spiritual tourist. You know what tourists do when they go to a place? They look. Have you seen a tourist on a bus sometimes, on the Malaysian buses? They just go around. And then they will see one of you funny little creatures also look. Oh, this one Malaysian, ah. I see. And then some of you wear your waist tee, you say, huh, what is this? Oh, this is waist tee, okay, Malaysian waist tee. Oh, this one sarong, all they do is open their eyes big and they look. Look, 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 and look. They just do a lot of looking. Their eyes just grow big. And some of the places where you have been so regularly, you hardly turn to see. They'll be looking and say, oh, this is a Malaysian beach, huh? Oh, this is a Malaysian cocker shell, huh? So yeah, we have seen it so much and we just don't like the sight of that. So, they just look and look. And this is what happens. The Holy Spirit will take you in your prayer closet where you're visualizing the things of God. And He will take you into the future. Get on His bus. And the tourist guide is the Holy Spirit. He will guide you and show you the future. He will show you from time to time, unfold before you. He will say, this here is what I want you to do and the will of God for your life in 3 years' time. And this here is the will of God for you in 20 years' time. And this is what the Father has been asking you to do. And this is what the Son has been speaking to you about. And this is where you will be. And this is what the Father desires you to have. And all these things, He began to show you the realm of the future. You began to experience it. You began to embrace it. You began to hold it close to you until it moves you. And when you experience that so real, you come back to the present. You are like a creature from another world. You are aliens. In a sense, we are. We are not people who live by the present. We are people who see the future. We have a living hope. Our whole perspective for life is different. We don't live for this life. We live for the life to come. So we put all that we are to see the kingdom of God come. To do the will of God on this planet earth. To extend the kingdom of God. We live like aliens in this earth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 that we see the things that are not as though they were. We see the invisible. He says, we have the same spirit of faith. Who? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of truth will cause you to experience all these things. I don't care how long you have been visualizing, how long you have been claiming, but you have someone on your side. If you have grasped a hold of the truth, if what you see in your yetzer, in your imagination is the truth, if what you see in the corridors of your heart is the truth, then know that there is a person called the Holy Spirit who will see to it that all of the truth comes to pass in your life. We only need to yield to Him. We only need to know Him. We only need to let Him flow through us in the things to come. So what I personally do is some of the things the Holy Spirit show me that is to come in the future, I will hold it fast with my yetzer, my imagination, and then I'll pray in tongues while I see. It will be just like the Holy Spirit hovering over my imagination. Just as He hovered over the earth, brooding. So here am I. I'm sitting on that vision, and the vision is sitting on me. The vision becomes a part of me, and I become a part of the vision. Until we become molded into one. You live for the vision, and the vision lives through you. And all I see is that purposes of God. I will hold it fast, and I will just pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. I will just see it so clear, I will pray. and pray. I will sit on it and let the Holy Spirit hover over the vision. He's bringing it to pass. He's bringing it into reality. That is not my job. My job is only to hold on. Didn't the Bible say hold fast? Hold fast to the confidence? My job is only to hold fast. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to make it come to pass. That makes it very simple. All you have to do is hold fast to the Word of God, to the truth. All you have to do is hold fast to what God said. If you hold fast long enough and strong enough, the Holy Spirit makes it manifest. What part of truth have you not experienced? What part of your life is still not where you know where God wants it to be? Bring it before you in the corridors of your imagination. Pray in the Spirit and see it. Live in it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, get on the bus. You get on the bus, you can see clearly. Some of you are businessmen. The time that you invest in your prayer closet in visualizing is as essential as the time you spend outside getting the deals. You will invest that time in visualizing and praying, knowing that you already know what God's will is. And you begin to see what it is in the future as the past. You begin to see your business prospering. You see the clients coming. You see the checks coming in. You see it all come to pass. You see what Jesus and the Father wants you to do with that business. You see it. And you just pray in tongues. Hold on to it. You hold on to it with your spiritual hand. Hold on. Praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit will send the angels. The Holy Spirit will cause the angels to work the circumstances in that direction. Some of you praying for your family, your loved ones, they are not saved, born again yet. Or some of you need healing. You must hold fast and see your family the way God wants you to be. Clearly. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, Indrasha, get on the bus. And then He drives you through the bus. Not only do you see your husband saved, but you begin to see what your husband is doing after he is saved. See, He brings you for a more detailed tour. And He begin to show you what is to happen in great detail. And then you hold fast to it in your imagination. Sometimes it is so real, I can tell you, those times I spend in that way. It's so real that it makes me weep. Sometimes I hold fast to what the burden and the vision God gives me. I see the souls that are saved. I see the people that are touched and healed. It becomes so real. I could actually see them being healed by the Holy Spirit. And I could literally see them in touch. And I was so thankful that the tears just flood on my eyes. It's a real experience. See, we need to experience the future by the work of the Spirit so that it becomes real to us. For some of you could be called to the ministry. Your ministry or your ministry in certain ways are supposed to take off. The time that you invest in visualizing is essential. It is not wasted time. It is essential time. Give it top priority. Most of my prayer is in the realm of visualizing. Because I can see better than I can speak it. So I present it before God and say, God, this is the way I believe you have shown me. I hold fast to it. And I just thank Him and worship Him. and hold fast and praying in tongues for it to come into reality. And sometimes the Holy Spirit tells you, get on the bus. And you get on the bus, and it shows you not only what your ministry will do, it begins to show you what your ministry does to people who will do some other things through that touch that they receive. It gets more detailed. It's all in that realm called the imagination, the yetzer. It is solid, solid in the spiritual realm. Let's all stand together. And I want you to surrender your imagination to God. Your imagination has worked on the past and on the present. But Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Has the Holy Spirit been real enough to you that what Jesus said He will do, He has done? Jesus said He will show you things to come. Have you been receiving that? If you have not, you have to give your imagination to Him, to let Him implant the truth of the future into your experience right now. Let's surrender our imagination to the Lord. If it's filled with dirt, uncleanness, the blood of Jesus can wash your heart and make it pure and white as snow. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We know He is present in our midst. It's more real to us and the things around us because He is the Spirit of truth. And Your truth lasts eternally. And we welcome You, Holy Spirit, to move over our hearts, lives, minds, and imagination, that we plead the blood of Jesus on each one. And we pray that You would move, Holy Spirit, among the congregation. We invite You and welcome You. Implant the things to come in our lives. And Father, we will glorify You for what the Holy Spirit does. And we just today want to yield to the Spirit in our imagination, even right now. Glorify Thy Son, Jesus, in our midst. The Holy Spirit can give you visions and the revelations of the things in the future. It's a very sacred and important time, because your destiny is operating in your life now. Any babies crying, please remove them from the auditorium. We don't want to distract the work of the Spirit. Holy Spirit is now giving revelations of things to come. As you surrender your imagination and minds to Him, the Holy Spirit right now is imparting into your lives revelations of the future, speaking to your heart the things to come, speaking to you and showing them to you now. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. All kinds of revelations are pouring forth now. All kinds of openings. All over the place, the Holy Spirit just showing you your future. You must know your future. Jesus said He will show you the things to come. He will show you your future. He won't show everything, but He will show you the important things enough for you to direct your present life. Right now, just receive His revelation as He shows it to you. Come, Holy Spirit. I hear some of you saying to the Holy Spirit, it's not possible. I cannot do it. God does not say and demand your ability. And don't look at it at what the Holy Spirit show you in terms of a human ability, because most of what God does, in fact all of what God does, is always impossible to your mind and to the natural man. So don't say that to Him. Don't say that to Him. Don't say it's impossible to Him. Don't say I'm not able, because He never asked for your ability. All you can say is, I surrender. And be like Mary, who told the angel, let it be unto me according to your word. That should be your response when He show it to you now. You should say, let it be unto me according to your word, according to what you show. That is the type of attitude He loves. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Could we have all the musicians up here so that we can worship God together? Come in Thy strength and Thy power. Come in Thy own special way.
let Him seal that into your lives. Come, Holy Spirit, I need You. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Your power come in Your own special way. Come, Holy Spirit, I need You. Raja, are you here? If you are here, come forward to the front. Sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in Thy strength and Thy power. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I need You. Come, sweet Spirit. I pray. Your power come in Your own special way. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, I need. Holy Spirit has shown many of you visions, even right now. Since spiritual vision is inside of your future. And you see clearly, it's not just blur, it's clear, clear cut. It came like a flash to you. It just came flashing through. And you held it there for some time. And you know that you have no ability to fulfill that vision. Come quickly to the front now. He's shown you that vision and you know that it will be difficult for you to fulfill that. Come quickly now. Come right here, right to the front.
nobody else moving except these. When we are shown their vision clearly, and you know there's no way you could fulfill it by your strength, by yourself, come quickly to the front. Come quickly to the front. We want to release upon you the grace of God in the impartation of the Holy Spirit, so that from this day forward you are not saying it's impossible, I cannot do it, but you're going to know that in Him it's possible. In Him it is possible, not in yourself. He never asked you about it being in yourself. He only asked for your obedience and your surrender, which is what you can give even now, right now. Lift up your hands right where you are, and Holy Spirit, right now, I release the anointing to descend upon these lives. Right now, the Spirit of God is flowing upon your lives. Flowing upon your lives. Giving you an impartation of grace and ability. Right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's done. 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 All over the place. It's done. It's done. I say it is done now. It is done. 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 In the name of Jesus, it is done. 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 Seal upon your life. It is done.